Well, welcome everybody to the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. No matter where you're listening to us, what station or whatever service, welcome. We hope you learned something. We hope that we can maybe give you some real news instead of that crap that everybody wants to feed you. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me from New York City there is my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. And David, hey. I know we're going to get into a lot of study today, actual Bible study. But before we get into that, and by the way, David's going to lead us kind of like he does on the midweek show when we do the comprehensive Bible study. But before we do that, got a little bit of news to get out of the way. So let's start with this one, David. D-Day. Everybody's heard of D-Day, right?
Okay.
Well, they have a celebration every year, and of course, the greatest generation is getting smaller and smaller and smaller with each appearance. Well, the British Prime Minister, he decided he was going to leave early and go have a press conference back home. And that was just not a very wise move, as you're going to hear here in just a second, if I can ever get my hand to cooperate with me. And it still hasn't.
UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak apologised for leaving D-Day commemorations before a major international ceremony. The Labour Party says it's a dereliction of duty. Rishi Sunak returned from France and carried out a television interview on Thursday. The Prime Minister says he shouldn't have done so.
It was a great and humbling privilege for me to spend time with all the families. As I said, after all the British events and all the British veterans that I spoke to, those events had finished. I returned home to the UK before the International Leaders event later in the day. On reflection, that was a mistake, and I apologise for that. But I'm very happy to admit when I've made a mistake, that's what you always get from me.
Well, you know, it might have something to do with the fact that without the United States of America, he'd be speaking German right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not a fact?
Yep, 100%. I heard old Poopy Pants stepped out, too, when his babysitter ushered him away.
Well, our president did not put in a grand performance, let's put it that way. He tried to sit down where there was no chair. When he got out of the limousine, he looked around as if to say, just where in the hell am I and what am I supposed to do? I don't get it. But, you know, speaking as a member of the U.S. Press Association, this guy's senile. He's got Alzheimer's. And Jill Biden should be prosecuted for elder abuse. That's not opinion. That's me reporting a factual news statement. Your opinion on that, David?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about her narcissism. I mean, I always wonder if she was the driving force behind his first wife and that incident there, because she was the babysitter.
Boy, now I know that's going for it right there. Okay.
Yeah. Well, one never knows. But I know Hunter doesn't like her at all. He called her all sorts of words that we're not allowed to repeat.
And yet she's sitting in the courtroom right now in huge support of him. Actually, she's there to hope that he doesn't screw something up and send Mr. Senile
like,
away.
I'm here. Don't say anything.
Yeah. I just, you know, the whole family, from what I can see, and this part is personal opinion, the whole family, as far as I can see, is very corrupt, and that their behavior is criminal in nature. And in regard to Hunter's trial, they actually have real evidence, and he was told what the charges were before the end of the trial. So,
look at that.
Yeah, and his trial only lasted a week, or a little over a week. I think they're going to wrap it up early next week, and whereas they kept President Trump in the courtroom for about 2 months over charges that he had no idea what they were even talking about, presented by serial liars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a bit of a difference.
They were admitted liars that stole money.
Yeah, there's a bit of a difference there, don't you think?
Yeah, it's certainly a puppet show out there. I know. let's bring his daughter in on it too.
Well.
Hey, come on out.
Yeah.
So she's upset that someone stole her diary and read it to the world. Now it's out there on the internet.
Yeah.
But now everyone can see what he's really like.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, the jurors have seen him in some very compromising, shall we say, photographs. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. He's as many in the media are saying, he's playing on home turf. So, you know, we'll just have to see whether or not they actually do something with the guy, or if they say, oh, he's a Biden, we got to let him off. We don't think that that's not possible in Biden country.
I wouldn't say that they would do it because they want to. They would do it because they're afraid of repercussions.
That's it, exactly, in my opinion, yeah. And maybe that's the reason that the president actually went and visited with the ex-wife or ex-girlfriend prior to the testimony. Nobody seemed to be bringing that one up. Okay, now, also, now we covered this a little bit in the last show, but the European Union is going through elections right now. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, they're right in the middle of it. Just listen.
Exit polls in the Netherlands project left-wing parties narrowly outperformed the right-wing Freedom Party. Netherlands was the first country to head to the polls during the European elections, with voting across the bloc slated to finish on Sunday. Analysts have been predicting a strong performance from right-leaning groups across the bloc, as William Denzelo reports from Brussels.
The Dutch anti-immigration Freedom Party has followed its win in last year's national elections by making the biggest gains in voting for the EU election. The PVV is projected to have won 7 seats, while Labour and the Green Left are slated to have secured 8 in the European Parliament. Both sides are heralding it as a win, with the Labour leader saying this is a sign that left-leaning parties shouldn't be discounted this election. More than 370 million people across the 27 European Union members will have the chance to vote over the next few days, to select 720 members of the European Parliament. Ireland and Czechia vote today, with the rest of the EU states heading to the polls over the weekend. William Denslow, Brussels.
All right, so just like here in the United States, there's about 50% of the people that know what's going on, and there's about 50% of the people that have no clue what's going on, and they don't really care, and they just keep voting for the same idiot time and time and time again, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I think that's what the shot was for, to dumb everyone down even more. They've been putting fluoride in our water for decades, and that clogs up your brain, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about all that. I just know that from watching children over many years, first as a child, then as a parent, and now as a grandparent, kids ain't getting no smarter.
Mm.
You know, it's just, I'm sorry, you know, and if that offends somebody, I'm really sorry, but it's the truth. I got two grandsons right now that, you know, if you measured common sense against air would win. I mean, I'm just being serious here, okay? I'm not trying to play. Schools are indoctrinating children with everything that they don't need to know and not teaching them what they do need to know, and then sending them home and saying, parents, don't you screw this up or we will penalize you. Not the kid, because we can take that kid and we'll indoctrinate them exactly the way we want to, like it or not. So deal with it. That's basically what they've told parents now, don't you think?
Yeah, it's an evil system out there. It all started with the Rockefellers. He's like, I don't want them to learn things. I want them to learn how to be factory workers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, here we go from there.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we're going to get into Israel at this point, because, you know, news, you can get that anywhere. And we know that, but hopefully we put it into factual data instead of the garbage that you're receiving from the mainstream media. But there was a group in Israel the other day. Let's listen to this one real quick.
Thousands of Israeli nationalists marched through East Jerusalem as law enforcement deployed police officers.
With tensions soaring nearly 8 months into the Gaza conflict, the hostilities appeared to escalate in Gaza, and the far-right nationalist factions staged their annual march, long considered a provocation by Palestinians, in Jerusalem. The so-called Jerusalem Day flag march commemorates the Israeli army's capture of the city's eastern sector during the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, Benjamin Wright reporting.
And had they kept it, just flat out kept it, then Jerusalem would be in Israeli control right now. But instead, they tried to pacify people that had no intention of accepting anything other than from the river to the sea, you must die. That's all Palestine cares about. Let's be real about it. So now you've got patriots that remind them every year by carrying these flags. And I support them 100%. How about you, David?
Yeah, I do 100% too. We're going to talk about a lot of that later on in the show, too, is why we support Israel.
Right.
It's going to be really interesting. Yeah. Stick around for that one.
Yeah, it's really important, and that's what the majority of this show is going to be about. So I'm going to play one more news story about Israel, and then we're going to get into Israel 100%. So this one I've got to play, and then I'm going to give you some information on it as well. But let's listen to this one again, if I can make my hand work.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has been paying tribute to the 188 UN personnel who lost their lives in 2023 in the line of duty. It includes the 135 staff working for the UN Relief and Works Agency in Gaza.
Our UNRWA personnel lived and died as representatives of the international community in Gaza, and that community deserves an explanation. The United Nations has sought the consent of family members for the inclusion of their loved ones' names in today's service. Unfortunately, we were unable to contact many of the family members of our UNRWA colleagues because they have either been killed or forced from their homes by Israeli military operations.
So Israel is to blame because they got attacked, and they countered the attack, and they're killing terrorists, and the UN is totally 100% against that. I mean, that's all he said, right?
Pretty much. I mean, you can't get any more stupid than that.
No. No, you can't. You know, and he has taken that side. Now then, what he didn't tell you is that the IDF successfully recovered 4 hostages in the attack, and they are now back in Israel. And so one of them was actually one lady, I don't remember her name, but she was actually portrayed in one of the videos that Hamas took, where she was basically pleading for her life as they took her hostage. So I'm glad they got them out. I'm glad they got them out. Also, Hamas is now saying there's no way we're going to surrender. No way. So, okay. Take them out. Well, take them out. Kill them. Go ahead. I don't care. Get it over with. Get it
over with. See how that looks then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That's the news, David. So, at this point.
Well, isn't that fun?
I know that you had a way that you wanted to go today in this particular show. It's very, very important. And I'm just kind of going to let you take off with it, and then we can discuss it. Okay, so go ahead.
I'm going to show everybody this new camera I got.
That thing's cool, yeah. You showed it to me before we got started today. So
it's called the Osmo Pocket, look. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's cool.
So here's the thing. It's like 4K, 120 frames per second. It'll track you over 100 feet away. You got you can control everything right here or on the app, and it's just really, really amazing. The engineering and the workmanship in this camera, I love it because you know we do videos, so we could take it somewhere and not have this huge, mess that we have to deal with.
Oh, yeah, because like when we went to the conference, when we went to that conference in Dallas, David, I had a medical situation, so I wasn't able to carry things and all that. And David and I don't know how many other people were carrying all of my equipment into another room where we could interview people. That was, this wasn't a 5-minute process, by the way. But anyway, that's just for whatever it's worth. Go ahead, David.
Yep. So it just really helps because it's so tiny, too. It's called a pocket, so it's right there. And I know what you're thinking. It's like, man, there must have been some brilliant engineers behind there, number one, to get all that camera and the lens and how it can actually focus and actually still pick you up. Now there's active tracking. It can recognize, even from 100 feet away, that it's still your face.
Right.
Let's say, right? And then, the design of it. How it fits in there, and you can turn that screen. And so it's a marvel of engineering. And then you have all that electricity in there where now that battery can store everything and then put that electricity out as you need it. And then it tells it where to send the electrons on the screen so it reproduces the picture that it's seeing in that eye. Isn't that wild? That's got to be like just an intense amount of intelligence and engineering skills in there.
Years of work, right.
Yeah, you would think that's what happened, right? Well, that's not really what happened. You see, JD, millions and millions of years ago, the molecules just started to coalesce, actually.
Okay.
And it eventually just came together and it created plastic. So okay. The plastic actually, over the next million years or so, kind of formed into that shape and came of the outer case. And then we see over the next couple of million years that some of the silicones, they decided to line up and create the glass that you see that's in the in the lens and the screen that it was.
Right.
And then by some miracle, lightning came in and then started this whole electrical process.
Okay.
All right. And it was able to store the battery and then create the tiny little motherboard in there that actually tells all of the electrons where to go and what to do.
Uh-huh.
And it just happened by chance over millions and millions of years.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's the same kind of, I don't have boots, okay? I'll put it to you that way. I don't have boots on, so I can't walk through that.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Not only are you much more complicated than this simple camera, because you do have two eyes and they work in conjunction and you can figure out how to put them together, but you can replicate, okay? Your cells replace themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We are infinitely more complicated than that camera.
Amen.
But there are people, JD, that believe that, no, that camera is impossible to have just happened by itself, but believe that you and I just happened. Boop, evolution just popped into existence. And here we go with all these complex systems and everything. We just randomly popped into existence and decided on our own to replicate with two sexes, by the way. You know, let's figure that part out. Instead of just, reproducing. And it's just absurd. If you are an evolutionist, that's absurd. You need to go get a mental checkup.
Well, that's a great right?
because
comparison.
Because we clearly have a designer.
Yeah, that is a great comparison. It really is. Because, it's not. Okay. I know this is going to drive people crazy, but I'm just going to say it because I believe it and because I'm a Christian. Okay, so if you censor me for this, it's because you hate Christians and because you hate God. Okay, but atheism is pure crap. Evolution is pure crap. There is only one way that you're ever going to get into heaven. I don't care what religion you want to pick. The only way that you get to heaven is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to pray a very simple prayer to God in your own words and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ is your son. I know he died for me on the cross like he said he would. I know he rose on the third day from death just like he said he would. I know he was seen by more than 500 people at the same time. I know he has ascended to heaven. I know he sits at your right hand, but before he left, he promised his church, every Christian living and dead, that he would collect them at a moment called the rapture of the church in the air, take them to safety, and then God would unleash his wrath. I know this. I promise to follow Jesus all the remaining days of my life, even if it's an eye blink from now. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, you're saved. And it's the only way that you get into heaven, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. End of story. Mr. Paxton, go ahead.
Amen. So I wanted to talk about, we always talk about Israel on this show, and I want to talk about why we always talk about Israel on the show and how come we support them.
Okay. All right?
And I think there's some major issues, and it starts back with this, eschatology, okay? And then hermeneutics. You know Herman?
Don't, no.
Okay, hermeneutics, professor. I'll bring him on the show one day. He's a friend of mine. Now, hermeneutics is basically how you interpret the Bible. So your hermeneutics will actually affect your eschatology, which is your prophecy view.
Okay.
And I think the biggest thing here is you got two different ways you could go. There's not really a middle ground. You're either going to say that everything's allegorical and is a bunch of symbols, or you're going to take the Bible literally. Now, that would obviously considering metaphors, all the figures of speech. Like right. when Jesus says, I am the door, he doesn't mean he's like a physical door.
Right.
He is the way
the
to life,
way.
But it's literal
right.
in that he is the only way to God.
Amen.
So there are over 200 different figures of speech that are used in the Bible. So it's not to say, you know, we discount those.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still literal. Like when he says there will literally be a 1,000-year reign, then there is one.
Right.
Okay.
100%.
And so you're going to lean in one of these two directions. And mm-hmm. one of them is allegorical. And you're going to be like a little bit on the left, and then you're going to be literal. Now, here's what happened over time. There's basically amillennial, which means, oh, there's no millennium, we're in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that also, you know, it leads into another topic that we're going to get to in a minute. But then there's postmillennial, which is kind of on the same side as like... you know, we're not going to get saved until after the millennium, but then there's premillennial. Mm-hmm. In other words, God is going to come back, he's going to handle this age of grace that we're in now, and he's going to deal with the church
mm-hmm.
and his bride as coming up before he comes to rule and reign on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple different premillennials too, like there's a pre-trib rapture, you know, or mid-trib rapture, or a post-trib rapture, so it's after the tribulation but before the millennium. So there's a bunch of different views, but the reason we hold on to, you know, the pre-trib is because that's the only one that's like actually justified and verified by scripture.
Yeah, it's the only one that makes sense.
It makes sense in the most part, but you have to read the scriptures too. People will use they'll take things out of context. They'll use one verse here.
Yeah,
and it'll be misconstrued to say, "Oh, look, it's either in the middle or no, it's at the end."
Mm-hmm.
And if it's in the middle, I can see a little bit better because they say pre-wrath, and the first 3.5 years are actually the Antichrist bringing peace on the world, but it's a mm-hmm. false peace. That's why we see the white horse.
Mm-hmm.
I see their supposition in that, but they're not realizing that. The entire 7 years is specifically one Shavuot that is specifically to deal with Israel.
Amen.
In that final week of Daniel chapter 9.
Right.
So that kind of negates that. And they only have one or two verses. Not mad at them, but I need to correct that. Post-trib, you're just not paying attention.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You're lumping everybody.
That's that reverse bungee jump I keep talking about. You know, where everything's over. So now that everything is over, for no reason at all, there's a rapture, and then you bounce right back down to earth. Sorry, doesn't pass the minor intelligence test for me. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
just me. Go ahead, David.
So we're looking. So that's kind of the eschatology. Amillennial, which means there isn't any. I want to start with that. All right.
Okay.
And get that out before we get the amillennial view mm-hmm. actually came into being. It started with a dude named Origen, okay? And Origen was, you know, like 3rd century. And so there was no amillennial view before that.
Okay.
Everybody knew that Jesus was going to come back and rule and reign. Even if you read the book of Acts, it asks him, are you now going to come and take over the kingdom? They thought in Matthew 24 and Luke with the corresponding verses and Mark, they're talking about when are you going to take over? Because they mm-hmm. all knew he was going to rule
right
from the throne of David.
Yeah. Like
they
now.
All knew that.
They thought it was like now, too, by the way.
Yeah, they thought it was now. That's why they didn't have any understanding of this church thing.
Right.
That's why, you know, people say, oh, they're, you know, Jesus didn't talk about the rapture, because Israel literally still had that opportunity up to that point. And it wasn't until the chicken event that he says, no, now you won't see me until you say this. And then it shifted over, and then he was crucified.
Amen.
So, and we don't learn about what was actually written about the rapture until Paul comes along and says, this mystery I'm going to show you because mm-hmm. that was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul's another one. He's interesting in that his dad, like great-great-great-great-granddad, Benjamin, wrote a testament. They all did. All the 12 patriarchs wrote a testament. Mm-hmm. And in his testament, He prophesied that one of his offspring will be the apostle to the Gentiles in the Testament of Benjamin. That's why Paul says, I am the apostle to the Gentiles.
Okay.
Because he
was a direct
that.
Descendant. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. So he knew that. And then, so that's what we see is they all believed that Jesus was going to come back and rule and reign. Mm-hmm. What happened right after Constantine? Constantine said, yay, everybody can come here and Christians can come too after they stopped killing them for a while. Mm-hmm. So that was like semi-good, but then he was kind of weird anyway. So some people suspect whether he really was saved or not, or he just did it for political reasons. But Origen, now right after Constantine, they established Christianity as the state religion. Mm-hmm. And this is where Catholicism started and all that stuff. Okay. Now, you see a problem with that? Now the government is running the churches.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. Anytime the government, Ronald Reagan had that, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So they started with this thing. Wait, we are getting paid by the state. We cannot go around telling everybody that Jesus is going to come and beat up the state and usurp their authority and take over and rule and reign.
Yeah,
so they had to make up a whole new doctrine.
That's
so they
like
came
insurrection.
Up with
insurrection. You know that,
yeah.
I think we're all familiar with that right now, and what's going on in the United States. Both sides telling people that their side's the only way to keep democracy, and we pay attention and you'll figure it out. You know, it's not what you're getting now. Okay, go ahead, David.
So that's where the whole idea of our millennial is, where there's no millennium. We're actually in it now. And, it's all means, Jesus is going to rule in your heart. And they came up with a bunch of nonsense because they were afraid they were getting paid by the state. They could not go around telling everyone that Jesus is going to come back and take over the state.
Yeah.
All right. So came up with this whole false doctrine. And then Augustine, he kind of followed up with that because he was getting paid by the state. So that's where the whole thing really kind of just started to snowball from there. And then the church kept it. The state-run church kept it, the Catholicism. And even when they all broke off and all the Protestant ones, they kept that part of the doctrine too. So most churches believe that today. But in the second half, we're going to get into how that is a false doctrine. And it's actually calling God a liar too.
Yeah.
So everybody just stick around. We're going to have a lot of fun. Talking about this, and you're going to learn something today instead of just spouting nonsense. We'll see you in the second half.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Hire with your week in review, a roundup of what's been making headlines so far in June.
D-Day is here. The invasion of Western Europe has begun.
D-Day, the day on which thousands of Allied troops stormed beaches and sacrificed their lives to break the stronghold of Nazi Germany in the Second World War. It was one of the most consequential events of the last century, commemorated with both grandeur and poignancy in ceremonies in northern France, the site of the largest seaborne invasion in history. Ross Cullen reports.
80 years ago, a daring attack from US, UK, Canadian and other Allied forces saw troops take five crucial beaches of northern France and from there secure all of the region of Normandy, defeating Nazi German forces and paving the way for an Allied victory a year later. US President Joe Biden and British King Charles were among international dignitaries hosted by French leader Emmanuel Macron at ceremonies in Allied cemeteries overlooking some of the beaches in northern France.
But British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak left early to attend a political interview back in the UK. He's been slammed by opposition parties and members of his own for what they call a dereliction of duty. Brits head to the ballot box on July 4th. US President Joe Biden, also fighting an election campaign, stayed. On Friday, he gave a speech defending freedom and democracy against tyranny, drawing parallels between the Battle of Normandy and Ukraine's current fight against Russia. The United Nations expressed outrage at an Israeli strike on a UN school in Gaza, which killed dozens of Palestinians, including children. Israel insists Hamas terrorists were hiding inside the building. Jody Jacobs is at the UN headquarters in New York.
The head of UNRWA, the UN's aid agency in Gaza, has condemned this latest attack, Philip Lazzarini describing it as another horrific day in Gaza. Anwar says the school was sheltering about 6,000 displaced people when it was hit. Lazzarini says claims that armed groups may have been inside the shelter are shocking. Attacking, targeting, or using UN buildings for military purposes are a blatant disregard of international humanitarian law, he says, adding that his organization shares all the coordinates of its facilities with the Israeli army and other parties to the conflict.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi is staking claim to form India's next government after his coalition secured a majority in the general election. Elsewhere, millions are heading to the polls across Europe as voting gets underway in continent-wide contests. More than 370 million people across 27 European countries are eligible to take part in elections that will wrap up on Sunday. And that was your Week in Review.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me from New York here, Mr. David Paxton. David, we were just getting started with Bible scripture, and you know that always excites me, so I'm going to turn it back over to you right away and just kind of follow your lead here.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about why do we support Israel, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we were digging into that, and primarily you're going to have the amillennial versus the millennial group. And in the millennial group, there's a pre- or post-millennial. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're going to talk about. But, you know, at least with them, they believe there is a millennium.
Right.
So what has happened even more over the most recent years is something called preterism. And that's where it all happened already back, like, in 70 A.D., yada, yada, yada.
I don't get that. If it happened already, we wouldn't be dealing with Satan today in 2024.
Yeah, Chuck Smith had a he quipped that, well, you know, we're in a millennium, then Satan's chain is too long because he's supposed to be chained up in the abyss for the millennium.
Yeah.
So, there's a real problem with that. Scripture just doesn't support it. And,
no.
You know, we're not going, we don't do this, JD, because, you know, we got some buttons to push or some axe to grind. We got no dog in the race. Let's just find out what the scripture says, because that's what I want to believe.
Right.
Not what your church doctrine is, not what, some crazy nonsense that people come up. What is the truth?
Yeah,
and that's what started me.
If it's in the book, it's real. If it's not in the book, it's not. It's a really simple black and white issue for me.
And how do you interpret it correctly? You know, so some of that has to do with we don't understand the idioms that were used back then. Mm-hmm. Some of it has to do with we got preconceived notions and you make crap up, like the Seth theory for the giants. Mm-hmm. That's just absurd. Oh, well, it's the sons of Seth. It doesn't say that. It says that they were the direct creation of God. It says they were the sons of God. They saw the daughters of men. So that doesn't jive. Mm-hmm. And then, so you really just got to look it up. I started my journey at 15 years old.
Okay.
All right. And it was exactly that. I don't care what the truth is. Just show me what the truth is so I can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord has been doing that ever since. Just so, okay, well, here's the truth. Here's a little bit of a journey. Mm-hmm. So some of the stuff was put on the side. There was different views that were here, but we didn't look at that. Okay, nope, we got to deal with this one first. Okay, now get iron the truth out with that, iron the truth out with this, because it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, right?
Right, right, right.
So here we are today. What is the truth? And if you're honest with yourself, then look at the words and see what they say and see what the truth is.
And I'm not going to take away from you very long here, but isn't it true that for the most part those that want to interpret it differently, it's because they're using it as an excuse for either their behavior or a family member's behavior where they love the Lord, they love God, they do everything right except this one thing, so surely God's going to let them off the hook on that one thing, whatever that one thing might be, and nothing could be further from the truth. Correct.
Exactly. I mean, that's how Joey started. Joey Smith and the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the church, And his older brother died at like 23, and he wasn't really that, you know, good.
Okay.
So he went to the church and says, well, can I pray for him, you know, while he's in hell? And they're like, no, you can't. And that so devastated him to think that his brother was stuck in hell for eternity because of how bad he was, that he came up with this all sorts of nonsense and made it work. Yeah. You know, where, oh, okay, well, you know, an angel came and told me that's not the way it is, and blah, blah, blah. And then he's found this gold book,
yeah,
you know, a really heavy gold book that, oh, he misplaced it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You find a book made of gold, you're not going to misplace it.
No, you're not.
And you can only read it with these magic glasses. And I'm telling you what it says, and you have to believe me. I mean, all sorts of crap that he came up with because he was mentally deranged.
Right.
Okay. And so, but that became because of he was trying to get his brother out of hell. And then that even morphed into, well, you're going to be eternally pregnant and inherit your own planet, and because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came from another planet, and then he, so they don't believe in the same Jesus. He just came from another planet, and now he had this one, and you're going to go get your own planet and fill it with billions of people, too.
Yeah.
And just wear this magic underwear.
Yeah, well, so the Mormon Church, you know, and for those, if there's anybody out there that's a part of the Mormon Church, all I'm going to say is there's a good book out there, or at least a good presentation. I saw it on YouTube maybe a couple of years ago, where there was an ex-Mormon who converted to Christianity after confronting a pastor who let him talk, and then said, "Hey, I want you just do me one thing: go home and read the New Testament like a child. Just read it. That's all." And that's all he needed. After he read it, he realized that what he was trying and been told to go out and preach as a disciple, or whatever they call them when they go out, you know, on their mission field, he figured out that it wasn't right. And he has since converted his entire family to Christianity. So
nice.
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there, David, because this is a religion that's not even, 300 years old, 200 years old? I mean, it's not that old, right?
Yeah, but that's why they call them the Latter-day Saints. Oh, we got a new revelation. Yeah. No, you didn't.
Well, that's not what Jesus said. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
He's like, I'm done. So, let's back it. In the first half, we were talking about eschatology and amillennialism. Mm-hmm. So, here's a problem, though. Luke 1:31, it says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive." He's talking to Mary. So the angel Gabriel comes and talks to Mary. Remember, fear not. So you shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
Amen.
All right. That's an issue if you're an amillennialist.
Okay.
Because this clearly says that he will sit on the throne of his father David.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Israel wasn't even like a state back then, let alone have the throne where there was a kingdom that Jesus could sit on even while he was here walking the first time around. So this is yet to be fulfilled. He will come and sit on the throne of his father David.
Amen.
So there you go. There's your millennial reign.
Mm-hmm.
But the amillennials and the preterists would say, no, it happened already. Well, that's just nonsense, because now you're calling God a liar because he said it's unto my father David. So we got the Davidic covenant, and that's in, you know, we're going to do a whole show. We don't have time to do this on, the radio show because of the short amount of time.
Right.
But what we could do, JD, is let me put together an entire thing and read all of these scriptures. Dozens and dozens of them, and we'll put together a whole show as a bonus episode for people on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we can do that for sure. Yeah, go ahead, David.
All right, so let me just touch on it. The Davidic covenant is in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Then God promised David a royal dynasty. Oh, that's a big one, because he didn't have that yet. So that's in Isaiah 7:13. He promised him an eternal throne. That's a, and again, you know, we read 2 Samuel, but the 1 Chronicles 17 and chapter 22, Isaiah 55, Ezekiel 37. So it's all over the place.
Right.
And then there's a political kingdom as well, from Genesis chapter 17. You can read on that. Mm-hmm. And this was, it was confirmed by an oath. It's God's promise. And now we see Psalm 132, which cannot be applied to the church because he's talking about Israel.
Right.
Okay, and that's in Ezekiel 37, 21. So that leads us into, you know, the throne of his father David. And then Daniel chapter 9 talks about unto thy people, Daniel. Mm-hmm. So all of this stuff is going to happen to Daniel's people.
Okay.
Matthew 24 is talking to Jews because he's talking about those in Judea flee to the mountains. If it's on the Sabbath, you got to run away. All sorts of Jewish language that's in there.
Yeah.
So you can't say, well, the church replaced the Jews.
No.
Okay? Because it's not. It's specifically for Israel. The church we see is a bride. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and then in Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 23. And Jesus is the bridegroom, which we see in John chapter 3 and verse 22. So all of these things talk about a different entity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely different what we're talking about. The church is different.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to really weigh this out. Why do we support Israel? Oh, the church replaced them. We're in the millennium already. No.
Well, all right. Now, isn't it the... I don't understand why people have to say that the church replaces Israel. I don't get it. I don't understand why that's even an issue. If you read the Bible, it's clear that that did not happen. If you can find it in the book, show it to me. Because it's just not there. So I just don't understand. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
It's the if-then statements. Well, if Israel rejected Christ and you know, crucified him, then what is to happen to Israel? They were dealing with that in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, if the Gentiles can come in and they don't have to get circumcised, what's going to happen to Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Valid question.
Yeah.
He said, no, Israel has a separate role. Israel will be blind until the fullness of the Gentiles comes
right.
in.
Right.
Then they will receive Christ again.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, really have to read instead of just saying, well, if this, if that. No. Read the word.
Mm-hmm.
Paul talked about three people. The Jews, the Gentiles, and then the church. Okay? The church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. Mm-hmm. You could be called out from either Jew or Gentile.
Right.
And be called into the church. But those are the three groups that he talked about.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at this, we see that there's a different origin. Israel, they weren't called because they were righteous. God said it to Abraham before he even had any kids. He made the covenant. And if we remember what happened, he put Abraham to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but made the covenant. He says, it's on me.
Even before that, he told him that his descendants were going to be greater than the stars of heaven or the whatever.
Yep.
Okay. I mean,
and the sandwiches on the seashore.
Yeah, and he hadn't even had a kid yet.
Yep. And so that's where I wanted to go with this. You see, again, two different origins. One of them was there. And they said, so people will use that. Replacement theologists will say, oh, look, we inherit the blessings of Abraham. Well, yeah, we do. Okay.
Yeah.
And
in a completely different way.
What you got to realize is we could still do that and still have Israel here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're blessings. We inherit the blessings of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, God gave him two visions, right? He said, your descendants will be as the sand,
mm-hmm.
and your descendants will be as the stars.
Right.
Because it's two different people groups.
Right.
Sand is Israel. Israel will rule during the millennium and still worship Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Israel will repent.
Right.
Okay, but there's also another group, which is his bride, which are the heavenly ones. We rule and reign in the heavenlies with Christ.
Amen.
During the same period.
Right.
So, yes, we are both descendants of Abraham, but we see two different ones. We see that everywhere in Scripture. two different ones.
Right.
Okay. Abraham had, Adam had Cain and Abel, and then replaced with Seth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Abraham had Ishmael and Isaac. All right. Jacob had and Jacob and Esau. Right. Mm-hmm. So we see this theme all over the place, and people don't get it. There's two different descendants.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's what we got to do. It doesn't replace Israel. Now, what's the problem here? Well, one of those is kind of, you know, out in the woods right now. But we need to pray for them to come back.
Amen.
All right. And then we're going to see all sorts of things on the marriage and the Jewish wedding. It's a ketubah, it's a brochel. The bridegroom departs from the father's house. Then you have a surprise gathering where he comes together. They put the hoop up. You get a seven-day marriage. That's always fun. Well, why this 7 years? Well, it's analogous of the seven-day marriage feast. Mm-hmm. They literally, you know, celebrated for a week.
Yeah,
I'd love to get invited to weddings back then.
Right?
Like a week vacation, and you're required to go.
Yeah.
So the marriage supper, we see all these different pictures. Mm-hmm. Now, the bridegroom, he would go to the father's house, right? And then he would get escorted to come upon his return for his bride, like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 7.
And it was the dad that set the date, right?
Yeah, it was always the father, and he wouldn't tell the son. He would just, like, wake him up in the middle of the night. Okay, it's time.
Time. Yeah. That's great. Surprise.
So it's not that... Yeah. It's not that Jesus doesn't know. He probably knows now, but he was following the idiom.
Yeah.
But still, you know what? Maybe he doesn't know now. I don't know. We're going to find out.
Yeah. Book doesn't tell
us. So, in what we've taught all through the church years is they got all sorts of, you know, doctrines on this ology and that ology, all the theology, and they go into, you know, demonology and soteriology, and bing, 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 bing. Almost without fail, what's missing is Israelology in all of these church schools, these Christian schools that are coming. You know, you go and get the, you know, your theology degree, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't teach about Israel and their role in the coming kingdom and what they have. So the church doesn't learn it. So people aren't taught it, so they come up with, no, that's not the way it is. This is what I was taught in school, so you need an education.
All right, hold on.
No,
this has been put on my heart, I do believe. And that is that why is the world so focused on Israel? Okay, well, you can point to this Gaza conflict. You can point to the Palestinians and all that. But, okay, let's talk about the Sudan, for instance. Or pick a country, any country, Uganda, Iran, Russia, China. Why aren't they the focus of the world? Why is it that it's only Israel that everybody cares about? This little sliver the size of New Jersey, why is that so important to the world? Why isn't Sudan important? Why isn't the Uganda important, or, you know, whatever? Mm-hmm. Pick a little country, any little country, and tell me why the United Nations doesn't worry about them, but if Israel breathes, they'll sanction them. Explain that one.
Oh, that's actually, it's all the same thing. Now, if you're holier than thou, then Satan's going to come with Israel was replaced by the church, okay? Because then it dismisses Israel.
Right.
Now, if you're the rest of the world, and he's going to come up with a different lie. You know, and it's whatever. But the bottom line is, the Israel is prophesied to repent, receive Jesus as their Savior, and rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years along with Christ, while we rule in the heavenlies with Him.
Book says so.
And so this is what's prophesied. You'll see it. There's tons and tons of prophecies about the millennial period. Okay, and Israel and Revelation actually sets it out. Oh, this is the 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it's the Sabbath day. One day is as 1,000 years. So the earth will rest because Jesus will be the King of Kings during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So if Satan can eliminate Israel, then the prophecies cannot be fulfilled.
There you go.
And then he thinks he's won the game.
Right.
So this is the whole reason. It's like a chess game with him. He's, okay, well, Jesus specifically said, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, and you can get the Hebrew on it. But anyway, they're going to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So if he can get them to not be able to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, then he thinks he's won.
Same thing as when he tried to take out Jesus from the beginning. You know, if there is no Jesus, there is no victory and I win. I mean, he tried to kill off every kid at one point in time. Any male under the age of 2 years old, you know. I mean, he's tried everything. He's read the book. He knows the book completely. He knows it better than any one of us here on the earth. But he still hadn't figured out that he already lost.
Yep. You know. And what's cool is I suspect there's going to be something that none of us ever saw. And the reason for that is they didn't see the crucifixion coming. Mm-mm. Back then, he even said, hey, you're going to take over? And Peter's like, Jesus is like, no, I got to go and die. And like Peter's like, no, I'll protect you.
Yeah.
He's like, get behind me, because he didn't realize. Had Satan known that the death of Christ would be his demise, he wouldn't have killed him.
Right.
So I surmise that there's probably something that we've seen all along, but just haven't had our eyes open to. That will happen, that will defeat devil finally, and we'd be like, I didn't see this.
Yeah.
Well, you're not supposed to see it.
Yeah, I can see that.
So if you think that the church replaced Israel, you're calling God a liar.
Right.
Bad man. You're denying Israel its place in God's program. Mm-hmm. All right. And that is the basis for anti-Semitism today.
Yeah, which is running
around. Now, the 70 weeks, let's get into it. The 70 weeks deals specifically with Israel.
Okay.
And then we talked about already Paul saying, you know, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. Mm-hmm. So let's read Ezekiel. Check this out. This is really powerful. Is moreover, 36, and I'm going to start at 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. So Israel, okay, here, Israel sucks. They defiled the house.
Right.
Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore, I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land. And for their idols, wherewith they polluted it. So they brought in idols, they shed blood in the land, and he's saying Israel is no good. All right? So we were establishing that today. And I scattered them among the heathen. So it was God that scattered them all over the world. And they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. So they're still doing that today.
Yes, they are.
When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of this land. So they're doing all this, you know, abomination stuff, right? And all the people are saying, well, this is God's chosen people. Well, how does it make God look? That's what he's saying.
Yeah, right.
So you're making me look bad, because you're supposed to be my people, and you're doing all of these sucky things, okay? That's the bottom line. You are giving me a bad name, Israel, and this is why.
Yeah.
But the next verse, 21, it says, but I had pity for Israel. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say that. It says, but I had pity for my holy name.
Amen.
Which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen wherever they went. So he's not doing this because Israel deserves it.
No. He's doing it because he's
given
his promise.
We are not supporting Israel because they deserve it. This is for his holy name. He said that he is going to do such and such. He said he's going to lead them to repentance. He said it's my land. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Therefore, in 22, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake,
Amen.
Which you have profaned among the heathen wherever you went. Mm-hmm. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, Amen. When I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. This is all about God and him clearing his name. Mm-hmm. Sanctify it means to set it apart. Yeah. It has nothing to do with, hey, we support Israel because they're so great.
Right.
This has to do with God himself is going to come back. He's going to fix their problems. He's going to cause them to repent, which is what we need to pray for. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem so Jesus comes down. It's all for God's name's sake. All of it. JD, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's perfect in the way that the world is acting right now because everybody says, well, just look at what Israel is. Israel's evil. Israel does this. Israel does that. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. I'm not saying that they're perfect in any way, shape, or form. God doesn't call them perfect in any way, shape, or form. He just simply says that they're going to come back to me, and I gave Israel this land. And, you know, you can claim that it's Palestine or whatever other made-up name, and that's exactly what it is, that you want. But bottom line, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to restore Israel. He's going to restore their land. And we, as Christians, we get to watch it, but we don't have to be a part of the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good, Doug.
So here's what's cool, too. The millennium, if you don't believe in the millennium, then you got bigger problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it says 1,000 years in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 19. It says 6,000 times it says 1,000. I mean, six times it says 1,000 years. Okay. What about the millennium? So there's 6 days of creation and then the 1,000-year reign. It's really wild. Now, the millennium, we're running out of time here, but the millennium was promised to David in 2 Samuel. It was under oath in Psalm 89. It was predicted in the Psalms, Psalm 2 and 110, the millennial reign. It's predicted by the prophets, Isaiah, in so many places, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Micah, and Zechariah. All talk about the reign of the Messiah on the earth, and it describes each one of those different passages describes a different aspect of it.
Amen.
And the final thing on the way out is, you know, he shall build a house for my name and will establish a throne of his kingdom forever. So how long is that?
Forever never ends for those of you
forever
that
and ever.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make another show about this, and it's going to be fun. I'll go through all the verses, and then you'll really be able to see. But start to look them up.
Yeah.
And as for right now, JD, would you want to lead them to a prayer of salvation?
Absolutely. Please, Father, I'm going to pray this as if it was me. Father, please, forgive me of my sins. I know Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb, and I know he rose again. I want to be a part of your kingdom, Father. Please forgive me. I promise you that I dedicate my life to you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll do something like that, you will be saved. We'll see you next time. Good night. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.